Well, are you stuffed? A little bit, maybe. My wife bought these three aprons for Thanksgiving, and they say "gobble till you wobble." And I thought it was funny, but I thought, well, that sounds a little gluttonous, doesn't it? But I am stuffed. I am stuffed with the goodness of the Lord. I am stuffed with Thanksgiving, and I am stuffed with stuffing too. And I praise the Lord for His goodness and His provision. Amen. Amen. Real quickly, just want to say thank you. Thank you comes from Sarah and Liz to all of you that participated in the Seeker Senior event by donating items. You donated a lot of presents and prizes, and we just thank you for that. And then today, hope you can stay with us for a little bit after with snacks and fellowship downstairs. We might need help serving, but I know we'll need some help in cleanup today. So if you're able to jump in and help, that'd be great. Would be great. Excuse me. And then next Sabbath will be the last Sabbath you can bring socks for the homeless. So if you haven't done that and you'd like to, please make sure and do that next week. And then in the bulletin, Chris Garguklian is moving. Finally, we got a date, right, Chris? So we're excited about that. And her husband, Abe, of course, has been in a care center for a little bit now. But Chris has some health issues of her own, and I know would appreciate help. And so what we're doing is this Thursday evening, if you have opportunity at 5 p.m. at her house, you're welcome to join us. We're going to be helping her pack up things, getting things ready for the move. And then 9 a.m. this Sunday, if you're able to come help move, she lives just west of town, and we'll be moving in kind of the north end of town, close to Abe's care center. There's an address in the bulletin of her current address where she's at, and the one in the newsletter was missing a digit, so the one in the bulletin is correct. It's 14301 West Cooley Heights Road. So make note of that. It's cold and snowy. Of course, you're always welcome if you'd like to pack things for Saturate Spokane, but I don't know if we'll be having many people go out today. But just be in prayer for that. Please keep that in your on your back burner, and your front burner, your side burner, praying for the gospel to go forth in Spokane. So God bless you. There's a picture we're going to put up, and it shows three trees. And I want you to look at those three trees and try and decide which tree are you. You'll see that as things progress to the right, that there are some things that are missing. And those could be, we have to imagine here a little bit, right? Those could be brain cells, could be memories. You know, what is that person losing on the right-hand side? And where are you? Hair, could be hair. Thank you for that. Could be hair. Thank you. Yes. Which tree are you? Well, we are all in this state of decay, are we not? We're all in this state of decay, moving from the left to the right side. And along with that, there's all kinds of things that come upon us. One is the loss of memory, the loss of brain function. And I was doing a little bit of reading. Though that is true, it's a natural thing that happens as we age. There are some great things you can do to really slow that process down. So there is hope for you and me. We don't have to lose all of our leaves quickly. It can be a very much slower process. So I'll let you do the research on that. So what about the title above those trees, though? Spiritual amnesia. And we'll, this is going to kind of be broadened out a little bit today. And today would be a different day than normal, what we're doing as we look into the Word and what God has for us. But what keeps us from walking in the fullness of God? What keeps us from being a people of thanksgiving and praise? I would like to submit to you that sometimes it has to do with our memory and how we have maybe lost the reality of what really happened in our lives, or we've misinterpreted it in ways that cripples our willingness or our ability to give God the praise and thanksgiving that He so deserves. One definition of amnesia is this: the loss of a large block of interrelated memories, complete or partial loss of memory caused by brain injury, shock, or etc. So amnesia, and what I would like to submit to you as we think about it in the spiritual realm, is that we're all being traumatized, assaulted by ourselves sometimes, by the culture, by things we go through. And a lot of times those things can begin to develop in us a spiritual amnesia. And we'll flesh this out as we go along. And of course, our enemy, Satan, is part of this. Our culture, as I mentioned, is part of this and comes in, swoops in, I think, and reality gets twisted and memories get lost or clouded in such a way that we don't walk in God's reality, which is the only reality there really is. And then, of course, there's things like cultural revisionism and historical revisionism, where people seem to be working at changing what really happened in the past. And so those things affect us as well. And so we really lose the past in a sense. And because of that, we begin to lose a clear understanding of the present reality that we're walking in. And there could be all kinds of reasons that we struggle in this area. Why would I not have in my mind clear memories of what really happened and the way that they really happened? Well, I mean, there could be a long list, but a couple things come to mind. One might be just my pride, because I like to see myself and how I did things and how I reacted to things in a light that is probably better than it really was, right? So that could affect. Sometimes it's shame and guilt, and that clouds things, and I'm not seeing things correctly. Maybe sometimes the memory of God and who I am and who He's called me to be, sometimes maybe it's rebellion, because if I truly embrace the reality of who God is, His truth, His character, His calling on me, then that has consequences. And so the pride or rebellion in me resists that, maybe unknowingly or knowingly. I think that could be a factor as well. So there's a lot of different things, traumas, hard things we go through, a lot of different things. I want you to listen to this statement. I'm going to set up a little video clip that we're going to look at, but listen to this. History is to a country, a nation. History is to a country what memory is to the individual. So think about that for a moment. If we have no memory of the past or a polluted, perverted one, we're really kind of adrift. We're really kind of adrift, because memory, a true memory of what happened, it anchors us to the past, it interprets the present correctly, and it really charts a course for the future, especially in regards to who God is and what His calling is for me. And I want to use this little video clip as a platform to talk about this topic, and we'll broaden it out a little bit. But and I showed this video clip a few years ago, same one. It came out, I think, in 2012. It's about the pilgrims. And as you listen to some of the things that are said today, I watched it again, and I was still, after it was done, I was just kind of shocked at what I had heard and wondered why I was not taught these things, why I had never heard about this in school. But I think there's a reality there that has been lost, memories that have been lost and perverted and twisted, and they affect us as individuals, they affect us as a nation. And so let's take a moment, and we'll go ahead and show this clip, see what you think of it, and be thinking about it, maybe a little bit of context, in that it was, the concept of this was developed in about 1820, the concept of this statue and what you're going to hear. And then the cornerstone of this statue, this monument, was laid in about August 2nd, 1859. So it began in 1820, so about 200 years after the pilgrims landed. And it kind of is a bit of a collage of the pilgrims and the early fathers, a lot of their thinking. Does it glorify the pilgrims maybe a little bit? Yeah, maybe a little bit. We don't look at they don't talk about their flaws. They were flawed men and women, just like we are flawed men and women. But listen close and see what you think in this little video clip. So are there some principles, some truths, some things that have been all but lost from the memory of our nation? Yeah. Have they affected us as individuals of this nation and as corporately as a nation? Yes, they have. I want you to continue just kind of play that in the background, some of the things you saw, but more about not having some of these memories or how they've been distorted and changed and how that has affected us as a nation and as a people. I want to read this quote to you again, just to put it in context once again. If we have no memory, we are adrift. Because memory anchors us to the past, interprets the present, and charts a course for the future. Psalm 105 is a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness. It's a beautiful picture of His power, His miracles for His people. It talks about being led out of bondage, out of Egypt, and a lot of the amazing things that He did for them. But the prelude to that, the first few verses to Psalm 105, I want to read that to you. It says, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, talk of His wondrous works, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." You know, all through the Word of God, we're over and over again, God's telling us, remember, remember, remember. I mean, from the get-go all the way, it seems, to the end, God's saying, remember, remember, remember. Why? Because He knows that we forget and we forget and we forget, and leaves are coming off of our heads. We're losing brain cells and we're losing memories, and we have a resistance to maybe who He is, at least our flesh does at times, and to following Him with our whole heart. I mean, here's just a couple. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember all the commands of the Lord that you may obey them. Remember how the Lord God led you all the way in the desert those 40 years. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord God has redeemed you. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember the words I have spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. Remember the words of Jesus Christ, how He said that it is more blessed to give than receive. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's just a tinge of all the remembers that are in the Word of God. But remembering them in their reality and the depths of their truth is a struggle for us, as we've been talking about, because they become so twisted, so perverted, and we have a hard time, I think, understanding and embracing all of God's truth and the things that He's called us to remember. And it impacts us today and tomorrow and ongoingly. So what are some ways that we forget the Lord and His ways? How do, you know, of course we might ask, why would we do that? But how do we do that? Here's a couple to consider. We do it by forgetting God's past works of salvation in our lives. Deuteronomy 6:12, "Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Let us not forget that memory that God has delivered us, that we were all in the bondage of sin, condemned criminals, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been set free. And so we have to hold, that's a truth that we can stand on and base our whole entire lives upon. Another one, by believing, we forget the Lord by believing lies instead of the Word of God. Jeremiah 13:25, "This is your lot, the portion of your measure from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and you've trusted in falsehood." But how many of us fall into that camp because we're trusting in falsehoods and deceptions and different things, knowingly, sometimes, unknowingly, a lot of times? But God has called us by His Spirit and His Word to confront these things and find His truth, His reality, and walk in that. But a lot of times we resist the Word and the truth of God. Another way is by going after other lovers. This is Hosea 2:13. He says, "I will punish her for the days of the Baals to which she burned incense. She decked herself with earrings and jewelry, and she went after her lovers. But me," God says, "but me, she forgot." We go after all kinds of things. We are seduced by all kinds of things, are we not? And we find our heart, bits and pieces of our heart, taken towards these things. and they began to change our perspective and our understanding of life and our current context more than we can realize. And then the last one I'll mention, there's many more that we could talk about. By being satisfied with the temporary need of the hour. Living in America, we're so blessed, but yet that blessing has, I think, some consequences too. Listen to Deuteronomy 8:11. It says, Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today, lest you have eaten and you are full and have been built and you have built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Hosea 11:6 says much the same. 13:6 says much the same thing. He says, when they had pleasure, when they were filled and their heart was exalted, and then they forgot me, the Lord says. Jude has some interesting things to say, and I want to mention a couple of them. He's talking about this in the context of false teachers. And he says, this is Jude 1:5, he says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And then verse 16, they're grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They eat their mouths, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people, and they gain advantage. But you, my beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in these last times who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. We all probably love the story of the parting of the river in Joshua. This is Joshua 4, verses 1 through 7. As we begin to think, so if I'm struggling with my memory of reality and it's affecting me as an individual and it affects me walking in the fullness of God, what do I do or how do I combat that? This story, let me read it to you. This is Joshua 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in that time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. A memorial to the Lord God, what He has done to the children of Israel forever. Are you losing your memory? Are you walking in some form of a fantasy about who God is or who you are? How do you gain the truth of who God is? How do you set up things in your life in a way that will remind you? No, you know, I started to go down this path in my thinking, in my mind, but Lord, renew my mind. Don't let me conform to what the culture is telling me. Renew my mind. Transform me so that I can see the reality of who you are. Lord, what can I do to walk in truth and walk in your reality? Lord, don't let me be like this nation who has forgot so much of its past. Lord, don't let me be like others who have discarded who you are and your calling on their life. Lord, let me see you in your glory, and let me see your truth and your goodness and your grace Lord, let me see you as you truly are, that I might follow you after you with my whole heart. So where would we begin? What would we do? Well, I have just a couple simple ideas to suggest to you, but I would like to invite you to struggle with this, because I think more and more as time goes on, we lose reality in this nation, in our own minds and hearts about ourselves and who God is. We're losing that. Things affect us and they chip away at this, and we begin to walk in this thing that we have created, almost something that's idolatrous maybe. We fashion and form who we are. We fashion and form who God is. We fashion and form what God's calling is for our life. And we begin to walk in that, and the truth of God becomes shrouded. And we are almost incapable, but by God's Spirit, to break away and strip away all of those things so that we can see who He is and what His call is on our lives. So what are some things? I think one thing is just to literally remember. To remember, and I know it's hard for some of us, right? our leaves are going. It's hard for us to remember, but we need to remember so that we can remember better, right? There's some things you can do to better your memory. One is to remember events and talk about them. To make those piles of stones that you can remember and you can talk about. This is what God did in my life. This is who He is. This is His character. This is His truth. And you're remembering those things in your mind and you're running them through your spirit over and over and over again. Isn't that what we saw with the children of Israel? They told these stories over and over and over. And you could probably grab any little kid and say, "Hey, tell me about the Jordan. Tell me about the Red Sea." And the kid, I bet, would just tell you word for word exactly what happened, because he had been told that story over and over and over and over again. I know some of you had people at your Thanksgiving table, some family members that began to share stories, and the ones you've heard like 34 or 134 times, you're thinking, "Oh, okay, here we go again," you know. But you know what? It's good to relive the stories of God, His greatness. We need to continue to tell those things to one another and see Him exalted in our midst. We need to remember. And then as we remember those things, we need to praise Him and thank Him and glorify Him. The Word says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds." I will praise Him and I will thank Him in the midst of His people in the sanctuary, and will enter His gates with thanksgiving. And then just to tell that story, to not hold on to those memories and those amazing things that God has done and your understanding of who He is and what He's revealing to you, but you tell them to your children and your friends and people you encounter. And then I think just building ways into your life that combat all of the perversions and all the chipping away and all the distortions that are coming at us from the culture, that we even perpetuate ourselves in our own minds. We've got to combat all of those things, coming up with ways to do that. So I want to leave you with this as our worship team comes forward. That statement again, as you think about our nation, as you think about you as an individual believer, follower of Jesus Christ, as you think about the church, that true memory anchors us to the past. True memories interpret the present. And true memories chart a course for the future. So I want you to be thinking about that as our worship team comes. Would you come? I want you to stand with us. If you're here today as we sing this closing song and you would like prayer, feel free to come up in the front row. And there are those that would love to pray with you. Would you stand with me?